am Pierre Lumumba here at Kibenda Tea Estate in Kiambu County in the Republic of Kenya, and we continue our conversations about the continent of Africa. And today we look at the legacy of the man for whom I am named, Patrice Emery Lumumba. Patrice Emery Lumumba was born amongst the Batetela people in Kasai. And like all young people who grew up during the colonial period, in his case, the colonization of Belgium, he was exposed to Western education, but did not pursue his education to the university level, joined the working force, joined the postal services during the colonial period, and in 1955, Patrice Emery Lumumba joined the trade union movement. It is during his exposure to the trade union movement that he caught the bug of the fight against decolonization. He himself says that he had heard of freedom fighters in other parts of Africa. He had heard of Ghana's Kwame Nkrumah. He had heard of Nnamdi Azikiwe of Nigeria, and had heard of Julius Kambarage Nyerere, and of course Amilcar Cabral of Guinea-Bissau and Modibo Keita of Mali. And this is what energized him. And one of the things that Patrice Emery Lumumba says annoyed him the most was the manner in which King Leopold of the Belgians had controlled and impoverished Congo. It is not told as often as should be, but he reminded many people on many occasions that Leopold of the Belgians had killed no less than 15 million Congolese, a massacre of gigantic proportions. So when he joined the trade union movement in 1955 through to 1956, of course, he was jailed for an accusation of having embezzled some funds and jailed for 12 months. Later, of course, he was released and was one of the individuals that were invited by Kwame Nkrumah in Accra, Ghana in 1958. When he went to Accra, he had the opportunity of meeting other African freedom fighters who had been involved in the struggle for decolonization. And he came back charged and founded an organization, the Congo National Movement, because at that time he was quite clear that the process of decolonization that was being conducted by the locals against the Belgians was simply going to lead to the creation of a comprador and compliant class. That meant individuals such as Joseph Kasavubu, and of course, Moise Tshombe. And when he came in, the Belgians were also fatigued and they literally abandoned Congo. And in the year 1960, of course, independence was then granted. And this is important. At that time, the king in Belgium was King Baudouin. And when he came to Congo in what was then called Leopoldville, now Kinshasa, the arrangement was that Lumumba would not speak. The arrangement that was Kasavubu would speak. And indeed, when you listen to Kasavubu's speech, he praises the Belgians. He tells the Belgians how good they were to the Congolese. And taking the cue, King Baudouin also reminds the Congolese that they have inherited a good thing from the Belgians and that they have a duty to retain it. Patrice Emery Lumumba, who had written a speech, stands up. Everybody is surprised. And he begins to speak. And he reminds his audience that that day marks an occasion which must remain in the minds of the Congolese. That the Congolese must remember that they have been humiliated, that they have been impoverished by the Belgians, and that the joy of the occasion was that from that day henceforth, The Congolese would write their own history. The Congolese would be masters of their own resources. The Congolese would be a people that would be respected by the world. He speaks, and you can see, if you look at the footage, King Baudouin looking at Kasavubu and wondering, what is this man saying? Those who know say that it is on that day that it was decided that Lumumba must die. And it is also instructive to remind ourselves that prior to that event, he had met a young journalist while they were in Brussels in Belgium. That young journalist was Joseph Desire Mobutu, who later renamed himself Mobutu Sese Seko Kuku Mbendu wa Nzambanga during the days when he was now dealing with what he called authenticity and making everything to become Congolese or Zaire. And this man, Mobutu, unknown to Lumumba, was already an agent of the CIA. He was already an agent of the Belgian intelligence. And this is well documented in the book that is written by Ludo de Wet, The Assassination of Lumumba. He tells us how Mobutu then became very close to Lumumba, who was honest and trusting. And he believed that this is a man that was going to participate in the process of decolonization of the Congo. Within 9 months of Congo regaining her independence in 1916, the month of January, the process of eliminating Lumumba begins. Lumumba's party, the National Movement, wins, and Lumumba is then appointed as the prime minister with Joseph Kasavubu as the president. But a crisis begins, there is a conflict, and that conflict leads to Kasavubu dismissing Lumumba and Lumumba dismissing Kasavubu. And of course, the Belgians have already decided that they are going to eliminate Lumumba. And there is another figure that emerges in the scene, a man from Katanga called Moise Tshombe. Lumumba, sensing the difficulties and aware that the United Nations was present in that space, appeals, because there is a mutiny in the army. And he appeals to the then Secretary of the United Nations, Dag Hammarskjöld, to support his army so that this mutiny can be brought down and the Belgians would not eliminate him. And the United Nations abandons Lumumba. It is at that time that Lumumba turns to the Soviet Union. And the Americans then say, this is a communist and he's going to make Congo a communist country, and the decision is made. And from that day on, there is a code name for Lumumba. The code name for Lumumba is Satan. And the decision is that he must be eliminated. Of course, he is arrested and he is detained in Kinshasa, then Leopoldville. And he tries with people like Pierre Mulele, who are part of the people that he was working with, and he attempts to escape on his way to the Kasai province, to what was then called Stanleyville, now called Kisangani. Unfortunately, Lumumba is arrested by the forces of Mobutu, and once they have arrested him, and this footage is one of the most painful footages you ever see, of Lumumba's hands being tied at the back, and is handed over to Moise Tshombe in Katanga. And when they hand him over, the story is now told, Ludo de Wet says, he's taken to the forest, he's shot, and his body is dissolved in acid. The man who shot him has recently come out and said, he's now an old man, that I shot Lumumba and the only thing that I retained was his tooth, which was returned to Congo in the year 2024. That is the sad history of how Lumumba then entered the heart of the people. And one of the things that Lumumba does before he dies is that he writes a letter to his wife, Josephine Opango, one of the most iconic letters. He says, in part, I'm aware that I'm going to die, but I die in the knowledge that the history of Congo will be written by the Congolese. And of course, he's executed, and there are riots across the world because Lumumba had already distinguished himself as a Pan-Africanist. So numerous are the riots, and of course, leaders across the world, Kwame Nkrumah, Julius Kambarage Nyerere, at that time in the Soviet Union, Lumumba's name is synonymous with Pan-Africanism. Lumumba's name is synonymous with courage. Lumumba's name is synonymous with somebody who loves his country. Lumumba's name is synonymous with the good things that the Congolese would have wanted. And Lumumba is only age 36 at that time. And subsequently, of course, it is said that the spirit of Lumumba has never rested. It has never rested with the consequence that even as we speak today, the Democratic Republic of Congo has known no peace and will never know any peace. I know that his legacy was preserved in many ways. Here in Kenya in the 1960, in honor of Lumumba, we had something that was formed by the Kenya African National Union, KANU, called the Lumumba Institute. We had streets named for Lumumba. We had in Moscow the Friendship University, which was named after Patrice Emery Lumumba and became a kind of an intellectual pilgrimage site for those who went to the Soviet Union at that time for purposes of ensuring that Lumumba's legacy is maintained. And many individuals are then named for Lumumba, including myself, who is born a year after he was assassinated. And when you go to the streets of many African cities, you find the name Lumumba. And the name Lumumba, as I've already indicated, has become synonymous with that which is good. It is also important to note that Lumumba came from a small ethnic group, the Batetela. He was not from the Baluba, he was not from the Bakongo, but yet he was able during that period to emerge as the most iconic leader at that time, and he was able to transcend ethnicity because Lumumba believed that Congo must be one. Remember, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, as we know it, it changed its name to Zaire, and now the Democratic Republic of Congo, there are more than 250 ethnicities or tribes. And knowing that as you do, you can then appreciate how difficult it must have been in the 1960s with the limited communication for Lumumba to have succeeded in getting into the hearts of the people, for Lumumba to have been accepted across the region, for Lumumba to have been voted by the people and for him to have won. That in itself is indicative of the man who he was. And one can dare say that Lumumba is dead. Long live Lumumba, because the likes of him never die. Thank you very much. Our conversation, some may say discourse, about the continent of Africa will continue as it must. But let us say our goodbyes in the knowledge that we'll meet again to continue the conversation.